do want to give a special thank you to all of you students. It's been a blessing and a pleasure to be here. Really has. This is my last session here, and just want you to know I appreciate your open hearts and your ears that were willing to listen, and it means a lot. It even helps with the preaching.
Absolutely.
It really does. If preacher sense there's open hearts, it really does help. Thank you. Had the blessing last night of my four oldest children coming and surprising me. I knew there was some considerations of that, so yesterday I asked my wife, I said, are they coming out tomorrow? And I asked specifically, and she said, I heard her hesitate, and she said, no, they're not coming out tomorrow. And here they came and surprised me last night. So I'm glad to have them here. Shall we kneel together to pray before we start? Oh God, our Father in heaven, we do open our hearts to you again, and Lord, I know we've been hearing lots of good preaching, and our hearts are full, maybe our minds are full too, Lord, but God, we ask that your Spirit would just come and move within our hearts and stir up things that need to be stirred up. God, I look to you in Jesus' name, and I pray, God, would you, out of this group of young men and young women, would you do things, Lord? Would you do things? We cannot, but Lord, I beg of you in Jesus' name, would you please come and stir in our hearts? Lord, there's some that have maybe lost their way. There's some that maybe have discouragement. There's some, Lord, that maybe even this week you have been laying burdens on their hearts and visions for their future. Things, Lord, that you want them to rise up and walk in faithfulness. And I ask, would you supply the grace to do that, Lord? And send the Spirit, even as we continue here, to make those things alive to us. Thank you for your presence. Please help me as I share. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 19, for an opening scripture. Like to just encourage us all again that living the second and third and the fourth and the fifth generation and the sixth is very possible. I'd just like to encourage you, it is very possible. It's very possible. Don't be discouraged. Be encouraged. I'd like to read a couple verses here in the beginning. The title this morning is Exercising Ourselves. Matthew chapter 19, starting to read in verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, this is unto Jesus, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up? What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. God, in the coming days and weeks and months, God is going to be looking into your hearts. And when you come to Him and say, God, I want to serve you, He's going to put His finger on a specific area in your life that is dear to you, and He's going to ask you to give it up. He's going to do that. I look back over my years, and it seems like there is just a train of things. God comes and puts His finger on an area in my life that's maybe too dear to me. And I wrestle with this thing, and then I yield it and say, God, I give it all to you. And oh, there's peace and there's rest in my heart. And you know how it is. I mean, you know all about it. But then sometime later, He does it again. Sometimes it's bigger things and sometimes it's smaller things. But if you want to be faithful and passionate for Jesus, God is continually going to put His finger on another area in your life. And He's going to say, I want you to give this up. Just more recently here, I remember specifically where I was driving down the road. And I don't even remember what it was. But I remember God laying His finger on an issue in my life. And I remember for about 2 minutes struggling with this thing. And then realizing, yes, I also need to give this up. And then again, making a specific choice, Lord, I lay it at Your feet. And I'll follow You in that area. God will do that and He'll continue to do that. And I believe that there are some of you that have, God has been doing that this week already. God's been doing that. God's been laying His finger on certain areas in your life this week already. And I wonder how many of you have just laid it at Jesus' feet. There's, in Hebrews there's this little illustration given, and I want to read it soon. But there's this little illustration given that there's some in the Christian life that are still on milk and others that are on meat. This is not a big steak like we had yesterday, but it's a piece of meat. I have, you know, a one-year-old, and he loves his milk. He loves his milk. He's at the age he loves his milk. He's eating other things too, but he loves his milk. If I give him a piece of meat, he'd choke on it. You know why? He's not ready for it yet. He's eating some foods. He's growing and he's getting stronger. And for about 2 months now, he's running all over the place. And he's starting to say some words and communicating. And I talked with him on the phone this morning, and he grunt, and he'd say my name. He'd say, Dada, you know. He's growing, you know. But if I'd give him this thing, and I give him a big bite, he'd choke. According to Hebrews, and we're going to read it here in a little bit, there's a lot of Christians that are walking around after being Christians for a number of years, and they're on the bottle. They're on milk. Can you imagine, young men, young ladies, you walking around and you drinking from this bottle? Everyone would stand here and look at you and say, what in the world are you doing? Get with the program. What's wrong with you? Right? I mean, if I'd stand here even now and start drinking this thing, you'd really think I'm off the wall, right? Why? Because you expect more. Isn't that right? You expect more. And that's how it is with God. God expects more than for all of us as born-again, Bible-believing people who have committed to serving God, and after a number of years, we're still drinking milk. And I wonder how God feels about all that. Let's read these verses. Hebrews, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. I want to just read some of the verses there in the beginning. Hebrews chapter 5, and we're going to start reading in verse 8, I believe. It says, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be understood, seeing ye are dull of hearing." Do you hear that? They're dull of hearing with their hearts. "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Sometimes I speak with men. We have conversations about the Word of God, and I just get this sense that, wow, he has his senses exercised. I share about this verse and that verse, and we talk about what God's doing, and you just get the sense there's some maturity there. Right? You know what I'm talking about. Well, let me tell you that doesn't just happen. That doesn't just happen. But it comes from day after day after day exercising ourselves in the Word of God, in obedience, and all the things contained in the Word, in exercising ourselves in these things, and there's a maturity that comes. Day after day, in our shop, if you look at some of those words, if you look at the word exercise, what it really means to do something over and over and over again. That's all that it means. Back home in our shop, we have a woodworking shop, and we just hired a guy recently, and so he was new on the block. So, the first day, he was there and working and teaching him what to do. And guess what? He was very, very inexperienced. So the next day, he went through the same routine trying to teach him. And he has his job, and he's doing it day after day, day after day. And it's about a month and a half now that he's working. And guess what? He's getting better at it. Right? He's getting better at it. I remember the first day that I went out on the streets to share the gospel. I remember that. And I remember the shaking in my knees. I remember, what am I going to share with these people? I remember passing out tracts. And I remember all the fear in my heart. It's a little bit different than that today. Sometimes I still have some shakings, but it's quite different than that. What I'm trying to say here is, if we do something on and on and on, exercising ourselves in the Word of God, and we're going to go through quite a few things here today. In exercising ourselves day after day, we become mature. We become mature. And we move away from this stage of milk to the stage where we can take this meat and we can chew it. We've got teeth. We matured far enough that we can, that's what we need in order to grow. I'd like for you also, in this matter of exercising, I'm going to need a volunteer to come, and this is a 20-pound weight. And I'm going to need one of you young men, strong young men. I don't know. I'll first ask for a volunteer. Who would want to come up here and do this for a while for me? Do I have any volunteers? If I don't get any volunteers, I'll pick on someone. Do I have any volunteers come up here? I need a volunteer. Yes. Just come on up here. Okay, you just start slowly but surely pumping that. Just keep on doing it. He's exercising himself. Many times, we as Christians do a little bit of something. We start and we keep going for a little bit, but that's really not exercise. Exercise, if you watch him a little bit, after a while, it's going to get difficult. You know, right now, he is not really building muscles yet. But wait till it's getting there. See that? He has to exert a good bit of energy to keep that thing going. Are you done? Okay, that's all right, you're done. Okay, but did you see what he was doing? The first number of times going up, you know, that's often how we do. You know, we think, oh, we're exercising ourselves, we're doing it. But really, it's not really exercise. Exercise is when it comes to the place where we just, you know, just can't quite do it. That's true exercise. And we often do, like I did here a couple of weeks ago, I was in a hotel, and I was preparing for another Bible school down in North Carolina. And as I was just talking to the Lord and I was walking around the hotel, I come to this exercise room. And guess what I did? As I was there talking to the Lord, I walked in there, and there's this treadmill. And I get on this treadmill, and I get it going pretty good, and you know, I was going pretty good, and I'm not sure how far I went, but I kept going pretty good. And I came to the place where I realized that I have to keep going, okay? But if I keep going, I'm going to need to exert myself in order to do it. And guess what I did? I stepped off. I honestly did. I stepped off of that thing. Why? Because I didn't want to exert myself. I could feel on my forehead that, you know, it was just starting to get wet. I could feel in my muscles that I'm just at the place where I'm going to need to give myself to it. And I stepped off. And that's how we do. That's how we do. So many, many times, and that's why there's many, many Christians on milk today. That's why we step off of there rather than continuing. And I'm an office guy, okay, so I'm not sure if, I mean, you'll probably laugh at me, okay, but I can't do a whole lot. But see, it's going pretty good. And I can do that for a while. But it won't be very long until it'll get very, very difficult. And as we do that, as we do various things, various disciplines, various things in our Christian life, we get to the place where it becomes hard. It becomes grueling. It becomes difficult. And it's getting harder. And we stop. Why? Because it's painful. You know the little saying that says, no pain, no gain. That's true. That's true. And it's getting harder. And it's getting harder. But it's still going. But my muscles are straining. And they're aching. And they're hurting. And I keep going. And it's hurting more. And I'm still going. I'll stop. Do you get the point? Most of us, in our disciplines, in our personal disciplines, and in the things that we do in our Christian life, we go about 25% of the way. And now my muscles hurt. Guess why? If I do this every day, if I do this every day, in a week from now, I'll be able to do a couple more. And a couple weeks from now, I'll be able to do a couple more. And my strength in my arm slowly gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And stronger and stronger and stronger. Well, the Bible says physical exercise profiteth little. But it's still good. It says little. Exercise is good for our bodies. there's a man I work with that about 2 years ago, he used to, just for the fun of it, he used to run in some marathons. Every day he'd get up and he'd run a couple miles. And he was training his body to run. And he'd run and he'd run. And to bring himself to maximum capacity of what he's able to run, you know what he'd do? He'd run until his body came to the place where he'd spit up. That is the maximum. That's when your body says, you've hit the max. And then he stopped. And the next day he'd do it again. He'd run. And he'd run, and he'd run. And when he doesn't feel like it, he'd run some more. Till finally he came to the place where he'd spit up. He stopped. Because that's the max that he could run. Guess what? He could run faster than most people. And he ran in these marathons. We have the mentality that if we exercise ourselves, we just do a little bit of it. And we quit. I like to tell you, if we want to come to the place of spiritual maturity, where Hebrews says that it's meet and we can teach others and we can grow to our full potential, we're going to need to be one of these that keeps going every day, every day, every day to our maximum. More things that I could say about that, but we need to move on. I'd like to first start with our personal quiet time. I'd like to just encourage us, it is of utmost importance that we have our personal quiet time daily. If you miss a day, you know, don't condemn yourself. But if you start missing a bunch of days, there's something wrong. You need to make some changes in order to maintain. How would it be, young men, young women, if you'd start skipping meals? Skipping meals. You'd get hungry and it wouldn't work. Your physical body would deteriorate. It's the same way spiritually. Put in place some disciplines in your life. The people that are effective in the kingdom of God have personal disciplines. There's none. You look around to men that walk with God and they're disciplined people. Put personal disciplines in your life. And I know that there's some of us that have maybe more self-discipline than others. I'm maybe one of those that don't have as much. I have to work on it. Okay? Give yourself. Reading the Bible, put goals into place. I want to read X amount of verses today. Reading through the Bible. Maybe use an outline. But have goals. Don't just randomly, open the Bible and read at a, read a certain section and then read something else the next day. That can be okay for a short period of time. But it's the most effective if you get a portion and you read through it. And if you want to study on it, take a portion and study it. But it's good to have a consistent outline that you know where you're going. Be disciplined with your Bible reading. Be disciplined with your time of prayer. I look back to my younger days, and I can still tell you various places that I would have, that's where I would go to meet with God. Those were precious times. I look back at my younger days when I was your age, and there was places that I would go to meet with God. There was away from others, away where I could call out on God and pray and seek His face and cry. Give Him all my burdens and talk to God, and He would talk with me. Find those places. I would like to say, even now, I have maybe a shorter time on a daily basis, but then I have these little seasons where I take longer times. Don't make your goals so high that you can't attain them. Okay? Do something that's attainable. Rather, a little bit less and something that you can consistently do than making your goals so high that you can't attain them. Have these consistent things and then find that place. I encourage you to do that, young men and young ladies. Find that place where you go from time to time. To just, for a longer season, to just seek God. You find that spot. You'll never regret it. Never regret it. I'd like to just share, maybe take it a little bit more on a personal level in this area that Brother Dean was sharing this morning concerning outreach, concerning sharing the gospel with others. I'd like to just share some of the things that, some of my memories from my younger days. I remember seeking God day after day after day. Lord, would you please give me someone to talk to? I remember day after day praying, Lord, would you please give me the opportunity of leading one soul to you? I remember that. And I remember at my workplace, there was lots of people there. And I remember I was one of those that not sure how to say it, but there was, with what I stood for and with what I believed, I wasn't very popular. But I was one of those that, it was interesting, there was always, when there was people that were in trouble and needed help, they still came. But I remember praying, Lord, I never ever led anyone to Christ. And I remember praying, Lord, would you please give me the privilege of leading someone to you? I wasn't a preacher, but I prayed, Lord, would you please help me? And day after day, I'd talk to people and I'd share with people. And it's very vivid in my mind. I remember this one young man. I shared with him and he'd come and he'd share and I'd share with him. And I was timid. And I remember in the setting he was, this was actually, he was in a church. And in the setting he was, and his parents, if they would have known that their son was sharing with me, they would have forbidden him to stay away from me. And asked him to stay away from me. So I was timid. I talked with him. And I remember the day he came to me and just opened up. And I realized this guy needs salvation. And I remember, rather than just helping him, I told him, you need to find someone who you can pray with. And I remember a couple days later, he comes back to me and told me he has to stay away from me now. Today, I don't believe he's converted. And I still look back at that. I remember young men. There's one young man who had one of these, you know, cool haircuts. He was shaved all the way up here and then had this round mop on top. And I was working with him. And I'd share the gospel with him. And he didn't want to hear too much, but we'd talk. And one day, I'm not sure how we got on the conversation, but I told him I give haircuts. And he said, do you give one of these? I said, I never did, but I'm sure I can. And guess what? And a couple days later, he was sitting in my living room and I was giving him one of these cool haircuts. And guess what was happening in the meanwhile? He sat there and he was getting a haircut and I was sharing the gospel with him all the time. And I was sharing and sharing and sharing. Well, he didn't get converted. But I took that opportunity to share the gospel with him. I remember a day when there was this young man. And he really wanted to serve God. In fact, he had plans of getting baptized in his church. And I remember talking and sharing with him. And I remember just begging God that somehow this young man would get converted. He'd get born again. And I remember asking him, do you want to get born again? This is after quite a while, sharing and sharing and sharing. Finally, I asked him, would you like to get born again? And he said, yes. And I remember the excitement that was in my heart. I said, well, when can we make it? You know, can you come over to my house tonight or tomorrow night? And I remember him coming over to my house. And I remember the shaking that was going on in my heart and in my knees. And that night, that young man got born again. We don't need to go out on the mission field in order to do these things. What Brother Dean was sharing, those are the long range goals of the church and where we need to go and what we need to do. But brothers and sisters, these things need to be burning in our hearts day after day. And maybe you won't have to have the privilege of doing exactly what I did. But you have the privilege of sharing the gospel. You have the privilege of handing out tracts and saying, do you know what it means to know Jesus? And you do those things consistently, day after day. And guess what? It's like this. You keep on going, keep on going, and keep on going. And it becomes easier and easier. It becomes a part of you. You mature. It strengthens your spiritual life. You grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And God is there. And God is working. And God is using you. Many times we look at ourselves and the progress of this stretching and growing seems so small because it's over a period of time, but it keeps going and going. I was terrified to the utmost the first time I stood on a street corner and just simply lifted my voice and started preaching. I was terrified. I remember first times I went to pass out tracts. What am I going to do if someone asks me a question that I don't know what to say? What am I going to do? And I remember praying to God and saying, God, would you please bring the ones to me that, you know, that I can answer? But it's not a shame if they have questions, you know, that you can't answer. And I remember on that same, that first time that I was out sharing the gospel in that manner, I remember walking up to another brother that was sharing, and there was a conversation going on that was way above my head. I realized, you know, the Lord sent him to him, and he gave me others that I could more easily share with. But, you know, today, after years of consistently sharing the gospel and opening my mouth day after day, continuing to pray, continuing to share the gospel, it's a part of me. It's a part of me. It's part of who I am. It doesn't say I'm good at it. But God has used those things. And it's not a huge struggle for me. Yes, it is a struggle at times. Sometimes I sense God wanting me to talk to someone, and I don't have an urge to do it, you know. I face those things, and yet in a different way. If you want to grow in your Christian life, you're going to need to get out of your comfort zones. You have to. There are things that right now you're really scared of. And the only way to become mature is to step out in faith and start doing them. I remember the first time I preached. I remember the first time I got up to share. I remember the tremblings that were going on in my heart. These things don't just happen. Time after time. We're not all called to preach. God might call some of you young men to preach. Others He might not. My point is, there are things that we are called to do. And God is giving us. Actually, it says that He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. I'd like for you to turn with me there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you want to turn there with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 says these words, "And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Now, who has He given that to? Is that to the men? Is it to the ladies too? That's right. He's given us the ministry of reconciling people back to God. He's given us that responsibility. Has given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us a word of reconciliation. Let me just give you a little story. In our earlier years, I had a passion for God. I had a passion to share the gospel. And I did some things that weren't always that wise. Okay? But God somehow helped me through all that. I remember one night, there was another man and I were sitting in his home, just talking and sharing. It was about 11:30 at night. It was the evening before July 4th. We were there. We heard something, and here there's a car stuck out on the road. Strange, middle of summer. We went out. It was time for bed. We went out. And here there's a guy who had tried to turn around on the road and backed into the ditch and got stuck. So we came, got a tractor, and we went out and pulled him out. And this was midnight by now, and we had him pulled out, and we stood there on the road sharing the gospel with this man. We stood there sharing. And we needed to get off the road, so we had him come into our driveway. We were there sharing with him. And it seemed like there was a hunger. He realized he was defeated. It seemed like he was really seeking after God. And in the middle of all that, after sharing with him for probably a half hour or so, he asked, "Well, could I speak with you on a private level?" And I was like, "Well, yeah." Probably he said, "Well, you know, what are we going to drive?" Well, I was serious about sharing the gospel with this man. And I hesitated a bit. Why should I, after midnight, jump in a car and drive off with someone? I wasn't sure whether it was wise. But anyhow, I did. But actually, when he saw my hesitation, he said, "Well, you can drive, and I'll just sit in the passenger seat." So we drove off. We were driving down the road, and I was sharing. I was sharing the gospel. Driving around on the road, and I was making a big circle and coming back on my way back. I had sensed his interest was waning. I had sensed that, and I was ready to get back. And he asked, "May I ask you a question? Would you mind if I touched you?" And I realized what was going on. And I, driving down the road, I prayed out loud. And I said, "God, would you please protect me? Would you be with me?" And I asked that you would be with this man and work in his heart. And prayed for a little while. Stop. All of a sudden, he put his arm down. And put his hand over on my knee. And without thinking, "In Jesus' name, move over," I commanded him with authority. And he was literally against that door like this. Anyhow, my point is, sometimes in our earnestness in seeking God, God comes and we get ourselves into trouble. But we don't need to fear those things. God is with us. God is with us. We learn from these mistakes. But if our heart is after God and we're bent to share the gospel and we're bent to help people, God's grace and power is there. I remember later relating this to others from work, and they said, "Wow, I would have whacked him once. I would have really given it to him." That didn't even enter my mind. That's what came out of me at the time. I remember we have been talking about the power and authority of God. And I wonder sometimes what he felt when he was crouched over there against the door. But God's grace and power is there. If we seek God, he walks with us and he helps us and we grow. Those things are growing stepping stones in our life. And it gets painful at times. But we just keep on going. What about fasting, young people? What about fasting? I talked to a preacher once, and he told me this. He said, "I don't fast." He said, "I don't fast because when I fast, I get headaches." Did you know that that's an excuse. If I don't fast for a while, I get headaches too. I fast for 2 days and then my headaches go away. And if I do it again next week one day and the next week one day, I don't get headaches anymore. That's how that works. We can make all kinds of excuses. And I know there's at times limitations if we have hard physical labor and various things. But I'd just like to encourage you in this area of fasting. Youth? Maybe there's a need. Maybe there's a young man or a young woman that isn't converted yet. Or maybe there's someone that you know that's struggling. Or maybe there's a marriage that's failing. Or maybe there's things going on in the church and you need to be praying for that. And you set a day aside and you fast. You might go around your duties and labors, but you, throughout the day, you pray and seek God about this need. Fasting. I confess, it's a difficult one for me. I tend to be consistent for a while, and then it's easy for me to slack off. Fasting's a hard one. It is. I confess. But we have to. But it's difficult. Fast again. Do it again. And do it again. Maybe there's some missionaries that you should be fasting for. I'd also like to mention Bible memory. It was mentioned earlier already, so I won't spend much time on it. But I would like to give a couple maybe pointed advice for you to help with the Bible memory. At home there's a young man who has been very, very faithful with Bible memory. He started a Bible memory team maybe 5 years ago. And it ended up that maybe a dozen and a half, two dozen that were included in that early on Bible memory. Jeremy was one of those that was faithful with that. And what was actually done to help each other in the Bible memory is there was a conference line created that, and right now we did it different, or we stopped that now, and we have different smaller ones in our local fellowship. And every other Saturday evening at 8 o'clock, those that want to participate come on to the conference. It's moderated by an older, mature one. Fathers, usually at least one father comes on too, and is present, so things don't happen that shouldn't. But on this conference accountability, there's one that does from 5 verses and up per week, and there's another one that does from 2 to 4 verses a week. And actually, we have more than that because of the volume of people that are on it. But this Bible memory is a wonderful tool, young people. They get on there and they make their own pace. They say, my goal for the next 2 weeks is these verses. And then and then 2 weeks later, they come on, quote the verses, and then again give their projection for the next 2 weeks, what they want to do. So there's some accountability with that. But let me just tell you what this does. If you day after day memorize the Word of God, the Word of God comes into your heart and you think on it. It's a part of your mind. Maybe you're washing the dishes, ladies, and you have your verses up there on the wall. And as you're washing the dishes, you're quoting. And as you're, sweeping the floor, you're quoting your verses. And young men, whatever you might be doing, you're working, but and on the side here, and maybe in your truck or maybe on the wall at your workplace or whatever you're doing, you have these verses. So during the day, you're working on these verses. And guess what? The Word of God becomes a part of us.
And we're exercising ourselves in the Word. And many times, you don't feel like it. You don't feel like doing it today. And yet, you do it. Even though you don't feel like it, you memorize those verses. Now, let me tell you, in my younger days, I did a couple of portions. But today, I can go to Psalms 1 and I can quote that whole thing because I memorized it back there. If you can fill your mind with those things at an early age, do it. Do it. Give yourself to the Word of God. And you'll find that the temptations and things, the pressures, those things dwindle. And your spiritual appetites begin to grow. I can see a specific difference in the maturity of the people who are heavily involved in Bible memory. They look at themselves and say, oh, I don't know if I changed much or not. Me looking on, I can tell a difference. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. I need to stop very soon here, but let me just tell you, share with you another thing that you need to exercise yourself in, and that is in sacrificing of yourself. Sacrifice. Lay down, there's things going to be coming into your life that you need to specifically lay down so you can be active in the work and ministry of the Lord. Sometimes it's money. Sometimes it's possessions. Sometimes it might be a job opportunity that will come up as a young man. And you'll see that is an opportunity where I can make a lot of money. And yet you see what it does to your spiritual life. You see that you're going to need to commit more time than you have, and it'll be actually a detriment to your spiritual life. And just like the graph that Brother Dean had here, those decisions that you make will affect the longevity of where you end up. And sometimes there are sacrifices that you need to make. Jobs. Money. Sometimes it's reputation. Ladies, sometimes you need to give yourself and, you know, you like to just spend some time, you know, for yourself in something that you enjoy. But rather than doing that, you'll call up another mom that's busy and say, I have some time here. Would you need some help? And you sacrifice what you could be doing to help others. All these things you're doing, and it doesn't always feel good. And it's hard to do. It's hard to do. And yet, as you consistently do it, there's something that happens on the inside. There is a maturity that comes. The Word of God, it just grows. It becomes a part of you. And you normally won't see it yourself. That's good. It might puff you up a bit if it does. But you give yourself in these things. Sacrifice. Romans 12 says, beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God. Youth, it's the ones that are simply sold out, where you've laid everything at the altar, and you decide passionate in your seeking God and seeking after Him to become like Him.
to serve Him. You're passionate about it. It's those that will maintain on through the second, the third, the fourth, and the fifth generation. And God will be with you. And God's Spirit and power will enable you and direct you and guide you into all truth. I'd like to just tell you, these things don't just happen by sliding through life. But they happen when you again push that thing up. And you give yourself when it doesn't feel good. And day after day, you, even if you don't feel like getting out of bed, you get out of bed and read the Word and you pray even when it doesn't feel, even when you don't feel like praying. I confess there's times that I kneel to pray to God and I don't feel like praying. And yet I press into it and I seek God and then heaven again opens. We need to give ourselves even when we don't feel like it. It's in these things that we move on. I trust that the Lord will help each one of us here to be one of those that is that faithful strand down through history that'll move on to perfection. Lord bless you all.